When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Scandal reunion. Like, what the hell?
Hell yeah.
COVID really screwed it, but like, whether it's George's house or Shonda was saying she is a Vermont plate, I honestly think we should go to Vermont and all like make jam and like.
Oh, how great would that be?
We have to.
I know. I hope for Vermont. That's such a, oh my God, that would be
yeah,
so
Shonda,
great.
Shonda like has said like she has a house there, but I also think I could email my person and be like, can a freaking hotel
right?
host us in Cabo?
Like with the whole cast
anybody
of Scandal?
Anybody listening
come
who wants
on.
The Scandal cast to come, we'll do a photo shoot, whatever you want. I'm not going to be in a bathing suit, but I will be in a cover up.
Yes. Hell yeah.
I think what you'll all hear as we continue these episodes is like, it really was such a special group.
Yeah. Like we're really like a family. Like, and it stayed that way. Years have passed and we're still super close and we all love each other. And yeah. And that's rare.
We are so pumped for today's episode because the biggest fucking deal is here today.
Tony Goldwyn.
Did you used to love the episodes he would direct us on?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. And you know, we always talk about like how great it is having a director that's also an actor because they know how to talk to us. They know our sort of, you know, when we're feeling extra vulnerable or like insecure. He's just so, so loving. So, so great working with him. He's the best.
He's so great that almost sometimes he's too good because I've had so many. Have I told you this before? I've had a couple actor friends. No, actually more than a couple. Audition for various projects as he's directed in the last 10 years since I've become his friend. And they always text me the same, like, I got it, Katie. The room was so amazing. I got it. And I always want to be like,
you
no,
don't
honey,
got
you
it.
Didn't. That's just Tony. Like, he's so sweet.
Yeah.
He's so sweet. And he always takes the most time and care in the room with the actors, like, that you end up spending like 45 minutes in there. And you think, like, holy shit, I got this part. And I'm like, no, that's just Tony.
Like, oh, man. Oh.
All right. We're done with the logistics because our one, our only, Fitzgerald Grant III is here.
Woo!
Yay. We're so fucking excited to have
How
you, man.
Fun, man.
We're so happy to have you, Tony. Thank you for making the time. We love you. The Scandal Rewatch podcast has just sneakingly become me and Guillermo's way of like hanging out with all of our friends from Scandal.
I know, man.
Before we talk about the trail, Tony, can you tell us how in the hell you got this part?
Man, it was just luck. It was luck. I swear it was the weirdest thing. I had met Shonda and Betsy because I directed one of the first Grey's Anatomies. And it was like one of the first television shows I had directed. And
Wow.
So I got to know them like, it was before Grey's had aired. I think it was the second or third episode of the show.
Wow.
Maybe the third, but it shot second or something like that. Or the second and it shot third. But they had made the pilot, which was unbelievably good. Yeah. And then, so I think like Betsy had liked my first film or something and said, would you want to do this? And I saw the pilot. I was like, oh shit, this is like super commercial, but also really original and amazing actors.
One of my top pilots I've ever seen on television, period.
Yeah, so I met them and then met Shonda, who I thought was brilliant and unusual, as you guys know. And like, such an, I was like, oh, this woman's going to be successful. Like, you just knew, she knew what she was doing. And then, so I did, I think I did a couple of episodes of Grey's Anatomy as a director, never acted. And then she asked me a year or two later to do a private practice for them. And then we like didn't, you know, I don't think we saw each other for years. And out of the blue, I got a call saying Shonda is doing this show with Kerry Washington and wants to know if you want to play the president.
No.
And I had been dying to work with Kerry because I knew her a little bit, like through politics stuff. And then, but every time I would see Kerry Washington in a movie, I'd be like, who's that amazing actress in that part? Like, who the hell is that? She looks familiar. And at the end, I go, oh my God, that's Kerry Washington. Like, every time I saw her, she was utterly different. So I'd been kind of looking to where, so I heard Shonda, Kerry. I literally didn't read the script. I was like, this sounds like something I really want to do. And then I read it and thought, oh man. But it was cool because Shonda, I called her up or I said, let's talk. And she said, look, I don't know how big or small this thing is going to be, or I mean the role.
God.
She said, you can be in it a little bit if you want. You can be in it a lot if you want. I don't really know where it's going. You know, there was the intimation of romance at the end of the pilot in the script, but you know, when they kiss in the Oval Office, but, and I thought, well, that could get interesting. And, but I wasn't sure because it would inhibit me from directing films, you know? And I was like, I'm not sure I want to do it. I was so stupid, you know?
Is that what you wanted to really like do at that time, Tony? Did you want to keep directing? Were you digging that?
I wanted to keep directing, but can I be totally honest? I had just directed my film Conviction.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things, you know, in Hollywood, when you have those moments and everyone's like, this is the one that's going to be huge. And it's like, whatever. Anyway, it wasn't. It was like the movie didn't open and didn't do business. So I was like, oh, okay.
Y'all so talk about movie. Shit.
Maybe I should put back on that actor hat.
That movie was so hard to get made. And I thought, oh my God, I don't know if I want to keep directing, but It took you like seven years or something to even get it off the ground. Eight years to get that movie off the ground. It kept coming to life and falling apart and coming to life. And it was, by the time we made it, it was, you know, I loved it, but it was exhausting. So then I thought I should be smart and think about like doing a series because television's transformed and I should just be not an idiot. Anyway, so then literally right after that was when I got this out of the blue call from Shonda. And then we talked and she was so chill about it. She was like, what if you want to do seven? You can do seven. If you want to. So I said, of course. And I was sort of thinking about it. My manager, Jason, was like, you're doing this. This is one of those things. I don't care what. Stop thinking about it. You say yes, because this could be a huge hit. I was like,
yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Did you have any hangups about like being a president? Like, had you always wanted to play a president, or were you like, wow, I'm going to go like, I mean, the presidents, I think of Pullman, Martin Sheen, I think of like, you know, you're in that, you know, now you could, if the show was a hit, which it is, or was it like, it was like, whatever, great,
no,
it's a part.
I didn't even think about that. I thought it'd be cool. Like, I thought, what an interesting character.
Yeah.
And I saw this really potentially interesting relationship with Olivia. I thought, well, if that goes somewhere, that could be really interesting. Right. But honestly, you never know what the hell anything's going to be. And the thing for me was that first day of rehearsal when I met you guys.
Oh, it just clicked, right?
I said, oh, shit. Do you remember that? Like,
wait, take us through it. Because this is another question. Like, memories from the pilot. What do you mean? Like, rehearsal when we were in that stage and it was, like, taped off?
It was one of those rare things I've experienced so infrequently in my life and in my career. We all just connected, man. I felt like I was with my best friends from high school all of a sudden, like you. And then Darby was just cast that day. I remember her showing up and being like, hi, I'm Darby. I just got this part, you know, and hearing your story, Katie, about how you'd auditioned and, you know, and amazing story about how you got it. And, you know, Jeff, who I knew a little bit, but had been admired for so long. Yeah. And Kate and Kate Burton was later, right? And she and I have this long history. But there was that day of all of us connect. I don't know. I just remember it being this rehearsal period. We had like a week of rehearsal at whatchamacallit, Prospect Studios.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That was one of those things where I thought, oh, man, it was this incredible chemistry we all had. It was so fun. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It was like theater camp. Like it was just felt like really everybody connected and fell in love and really trusted each other and was so into the script and the stories and the greater good of the show. Like it just felt like we were part of something bigger than ourselves.
Yeah. And it feels like they took such a chance, right? It felt like it's like a crapshoot, like putting this cast together. And of course, Linda Lowy is brilliant and she made it happen. But even my audition, I auditioned once and then I booked her. I think a lot of us just auditioned once, if even auditioning at all. But just the fact that it worked, right? That it worked. Like that could have gone downhill really quickly.
Oh,
like nobody could have had chemistry or we could have, you know, not liked each other. But it clicked. It worked. It was like you said, it was like magic. It was so crazy.
So you never chemistry read with Carrie or anything. Like, how did you know?
Wow.
Like, did you know that the relationship was going to be fire? Like, because I'm convinced.
No.
The show was amazing. But, like, the thing that hooked people and when I realized the show was a hit was when you became in your 50s, which I want to ask you about, a full-on fucking sex symbol. So thank God you listened to your manager. But like when I first walked into our, you know, Scandal was a real slow burn. It wasn't like an overnight success. We really had a short first order, you know. And I remember walking into some press event in the middle of second season next to you, Tony, and girls literally screaming at you like you were a beetle or something.
Oh, like, isn't that crazy?
And you never chemistry read. You never auditioned. So we never knew that the Fitz Olivia thing would be what it was.
No, and Shonda, I don't think she knew that she wanted it to be necessarily. Mm-hmm. The only thing, I had really admired Carrie so much and wanted to work with her. And the thing I felt with Carrie, which I frankly felt with all of you guys, but I really felt it with her and our relationship was primary. We just connected as actors. Like Carrie and I never had to talk about anything. It was weird,
just
man.
Worked.
We never like
yeah.
Jeff and I connected in a different way. Like Jeffy and I were every day, especially in the first season, we kind of latched onto each other and would talk about actor stuff, you know, like our background. What do you think that, you know, we'd give each other books about politics and that we just were doing nerdy actor talk, right?
Oh my God, you dorks. I'm obsessed with this.
So we had that kind of a relationship, which was hilarious. But Carrie and I, like with scenes, we would never even discuss them. We just had the same perspective on everything. So we'd come up and we'd do it. Yep, pretty much.
Wow.
That's
it just happened.
We just had the same orientation towards stuff in the same kind of way of working or something. I don't know. So I remember feeling, oh, this is just easy. This is just works. This creatively we vibed so that we literally, I don't think we ever discussed.
Yeah. It was almost like, let's not look too close at this because it's working.
Exactly.
It's like, let's not even like try to examine take the specialness out of it. Let's just
keep going.
It was so trippy for us too, because we were in our OPA world. So we didn't, you know, our characters didn't encounter you guys that much. And we would talk so much shit and good stuff too about the White House. The White House must be so boring, right? We have so much fun here at OPA.
It was way more boring than OPA. Yeah. That's
But then there were the moments where you would come and direct us, which was so much fun. And
oh my God.
I mean, it was like wrangling cats, I bet, right? Like we were just
when I first did it, it was like like becoming a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
We would like get in trouble. You would like yell at us, but like you were like, and you weren't the only one. Like you, Foley, Verica, they'd be like, come on, kids,
stop it.
Focus,
you guys have
let's
to
pay
stop
attention.
It.
Stop it. Stop singing.
You would never stop talking. So I would just go, action.
Yeah. Told you that's the way to do it. Yeah. And Katie's brilliant at that. She would be talking, telling a story, and then she'd go right into playing Quinn.
I don't think that's brilliant. I think that's just like, I don't have a lot of stakes as an actor.
Which I can't do. Like, literally, if I do that, I'm going to be like a mess on the floor. I can't. I don't have that a facility.
I know.
How did all of the memorization, scandal, pace, all of that come to you? Was that easy for you, being word perfect? Like, did you ever?
That wasn't too hard. Great. I enjoyed it because it's very much like working in the theater, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Here's the other amazing thing about Shonda, I felt, on that experience. She was so clear from day one what was important to her. Mm-hmm. There was like, those are the ground rules. Great. Like she said, I remember that talk she gave us. She said, I will take any input you have to give me. But what did she say? It didn't end up sticking. But she said, I need it 24 hours after the table read. Give me your notes. I do not want anything on set. And what I write is music to me. So I need you to say the words exactly as I write them. And then it was her whole thing about speaking fast, which she kept on us about. Right. But so I thought that was like a really interesting technical challenge. And it was like, and so I was down with it. I really enjoyed that technical challenge. You know, where so many other sets that you work on as a film or television actor, and that's great too. People are ad-libbing all the time and paraphrasing, and you know, that has its place with certain kinds of writing. But
we've talked about, Tony, how we've gone on to other projects. And they have to literally be like, you have to slow down. Can you slow down a little bit? Because now I'm just like, blah, blah, blah. But every single time it makes the scene better, I think.
Even it's better.
In stuff beyond Scandal. I'm like, y'all got to pick up the pace. Like, it's so
much
better.
No, they're just sitting
better,
there not remembering their fucking lines. That's why they're waiting. Yeah. They're sitting there making like a dramatic choice. But really it's because they don't know what they're saying next.
Yeah.
I know.
That's
true.
How I feel about it. I love that you and Jeff are over there all studying politics and shit. OPA, we're like...
And we're like
singing
dancing.
Rent. We're like making dance routines.
Literally, some crew people are like starting to get pissed off at us. Like, I remember sometimes they'd be like, because we get into like the giggle, like, you know,
thing too,
where we couldn't stop laughing while we were
shooting. Oh, and they're all like, we've been working for 15 hours. Get your shit together.
Yes, get your shit together. Oh, yeah.
I remember the first time I directed Josh Molina, because I'm such a like acting nerd. And Josh's whole thing, for those who don't know, first of all, Joshua is brilliant. Like he's just a brilliant human being. So he has this incredible facility for everything he does. He has total disdain for the craft of acting, or is
hates
he at least,
it.
You know, pretends to.
Oh, he hates
so,
it.
So well, I think he secretly loves it. But he Josh would be like, he never would look at his lines until he was in the makeup trailer that morning. And he would look at it once and he'd have it all down. And it's just the way his brain worked, and every actor works differently. But so in the, I think that first episode I directed, whatever one it was in the heat of the relationship between Josh and
Abby.
Yeah, between David and Abby, right? So, and it was a very fraught relationship. And I remember giving Josh a note once about something about his emotional, like, need for Abby. I said, Josh, I really think, you know, like, try it again. That's great, but try it again. And I really want to feel, you know, some psychological thing about, you know, his feelings for Abby. And he's like, yeah, whatever. But he's completely disrespected me. He's like, I'll just do it faster.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. That's so like Josh. That.
Like, oh, he totally blew me off. And I was like, okay, well, and of course he was great. But yeah, Josh is so funny.
We will be back with more after the break.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again, a paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity, and it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, for product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
First, we have to talk about where you came from, which is like, obviously, you have a very long, beautiful, amazing career in so many mediums, film, TV, tons of theater. Also, by the way, I love that at Scandal, our vice president and president, we used to talk about this. Did you guys talk about this? That our vice president and president were like Hollywood royalty? Like just between Tony Goldwyn of Metro Goldwyn Mayer and then Kate Burton of Richard Burton. I was like, royals all up in our show. But I wanted to know, did it feel crazy to you to like be, I remember looking at some magazine and you were like in a bathtub and I was like, oh my God, like this person, like this is crazy. Like, had you already written off like, oh, like I was a movie star. I did Ghost like in my 30s, or was this a shock?
Scandal, yeah, it was a shock. And I was also glad I was kind of a bit older because I had a great sense of humor about it and I could just really enjoy it.
Yeah.
When I had my first success with Ghost and I was like 29 years old or whatever, it was amazing and fun. And I was so grateful because I'd already been working for 5 or 6 years and, you know, struggling and all that. I was very grateful, but I was super stressed out by it because I didn't understand what that, like all of a sudden when you have success in our job, you go from being completely ignored by everybody and then everyone's kissing your ass and shining light on you and telling you you're a genius. And it felt fraudulent to me when I was young.
Yep.
So I didn't quite know how to handle it, and it was kind of stressful. Whereas with Scandal, I was 50, and I couldn't believe it. I was like,
"You were just like, this is hilarious."
It was also a lesson, and you can't plan shit in your life.
No, like,
you can have goals, and you can try for things, but it's just to have give yourself a bit of a direction that hopefully follows something you are passionate about or want to do. You can't plan shit, so I could not have planned for that. All the years I wasted thinking, okay, it's going to go this way.
And then all of a sudden.
So that whole time I was just like, just enjoy this ride, man. So the whole thing of like, you know, the sex symbol factor of fits was fun. It was amusing. And
I mean, didn't girls like ask you to sign their bodies? I feel like women were asking you to sign their bodies.
People did some intense shit.
Can you tell us?
Oh,
The two that come to mind was when I was directing the pilot for The Divide up in Toronto. Maybe the series, I can't remember, but I was on like a break from Scandal and I would get stopped on the street as we all were by people wanting a selfie. And this girl, I've told you this story. This girl takes a selfie and as she's giving a selfie, she tries to make out with me. And I avert my mouth. And she licks my neck. Did I never tell you? She licked my neck full on, like you licked Katie's neck.
Yeah.
You licked Katie's cheek, right?
Yes.
Wait, who licked too?
Someone licked.
We both licked. And then she licked me in another episode. Yeah.
It was like that. I was like, whoa, that was pretty intense. And then she got herself in, she walked away. So I was like, okay. And then the other intense thing is not so long ago, a few years ago, after Scandal ended, I was doing Network on Broadway. And a woman had been waiting outside the theater to get my autograph. And Bryan Cranston comes, I guess I hadn't gone out. Maybe it was like I was hanging out in the theater. And Bryan said, did you see the woman with the tattoo? And I was like, what do you mean?
Oh, shit.
He said, Tony, there's a woman who wants to meet you who has a tattoo of you on her arm.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, what? I ended up maybe going out later and she wasn't there and stuff. And then the next day was a Sunday, I think, the matinee. And I came out of the theater and she was still there. And a guy comes up, he says, hey, could my sister meet you? You know, she's a big fan of yours. I said, of course. And because the people that don't go to Broadway, you guys both know, like people who want autographs wait.
They wait outside the theater for the actors to come out. Yeah.
And this sweet young woman who must have been 25 years old comes up to me and she's like, I really admire your work and I'm such a huge Scandal fan and I whatever your, I don't know, she was like, and I want to be a filmmaker, and your whatever, the not-for-profit work you do just means so much to me. And so I got that tattoo of my face on her arm.
Wait, is it Fitz? Is it like a Fitz picture?
Is it just you in a t-shirt?
It was just you.
No, it was kind of like me. It was like my, yeah. Sort of like a headshot, but it was Fitz, I guess, but it was me. It was the,
that's so like, strange.
So I said, oh, and she asked me to sign her arm. And
you did? Did you?
So I said, of course. But I mean, I was like, whoa, that was pretty intense. Wow. That's commitment. I mean, God bless her, but whoa.
There's that double standard at Shondaland, which is like, I want to ask you about that. The double standard at Shondaland for you all listening, you know, early on, it's very known that I think Shonda came up to me and was like, oh, I wrote you a sex scene. If you want me to rewrite it for you to be in a turtleneck, I will. And I said, amazing. And then she was like, but also here it's a double standard and the guys have to take off their shirts a lot. So did you know that going in?
No, but I was okay with it. You know, I mean, again, I just had the humor about it. And Shonda, again, she was pretty straight up about it. Like, she didn't play games. She said, this is important to me. And I obviously, if I had said I refuse to do something, I'm uncomfortable, she would have respected that. And it was, it's not like full on nudity, it's taking our shirts off. So it was, you know, like Scott and I had our, like every table read, he'd be like, okay, dude, you're up this week, go to the gym. You know, he'd just like trade off which guy was going to take his shirt off. It was pretty funny.
I remember thinking, thank God I just played Huck, who, you know, rarely takes his shirt off. But you guys had like that pressure of being like, oh my God, and then this next episode I have a sex scene and I gotta take my shirt off. I remember you always eating salads with tuna, like tender green salad.
Oh, Guillermo and I talk tuna. A lot about food. Do you remember that
was
like podcast?
I was honestly, Scott was more like intense about that.
Scott would just stop eating, yeah.
I think Scott worried more about it. I just I don't know. Look, my attitude towards it.
You're genetically blessed. Let's put that out there. Thank you, Tony Goldwyn's ancestors from above, for giving Tony Goldwyn a six pack that cannot be taken down by a meal or a glass of wine.
Right. So I would have my meal or glass of wine, but also it stressed me out too much to stress about it. So I just stayed in a baseline level of fitness, which made me feel better and able to work long hours anyway. So I was like, all right, this is what this job is. So it was. So I didn't ever get too Spartan about it, because I think Scott would like literally starve himself.
Oh yeah,
that would fuck me up.
Well, because his genetic ancestors blessed him in some ways too, just not with the Tony Goldwyn stomach, which like that is just like how you're built. I sort of feel like
Scott Foley is a pretty good looking fellow. I don't know.
Oh, he's the best. He's absolutely gorgeous. I love you both to pieces.
We talked a little bit about the beginning of your career, when you started. Do you remember what the first, I think I know what it is and I'm really excited about it, but do you remember what your first movie was? Your first movie role?
Oh yeah, I know why you're excited about it. Friday the 13th, part 6.
Yes, Jason Lives.
My first movie part, Jason Lives.
Yes.
And I got killed in the first like 5 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
I think I was the second person in the movie murdered by Jason.
Fuck yeah, you played Darren Robinson. And
I can't believe you found that out. Darren, like that's some bad acting. If you watch that movie,
Tony, Guillermo recorded it and texted it to me yesterday, the clip, which I will now forward to you and we will post when this episode comes out.
The clip is me standing there with a gun going, back off, scumbag. Back off, like that. And then Jason stabs me in the heart with a pole.
He impales you with like a fucking huge ass pole that he just also like stabbed the wheel so that your car could no longer be drivable.
And broke the headlights, exactly.
You were adorable.
But what a dream. You were in a Friday the 13th movie. Like that's like huge for horror fans.
Man,
you know what I mean?
I was so excited to have a job that like I think I maybe got paid $1,000 for a week, and I thought it was a fortune. You know, I was just so happy to have it.
Let's talk about the trail that is this episode's rewatch, which is, I feel like, changed the course of Scandal, actually, because it was the first episode that really spent a lot of time in the flashback, and we became a show that used that as a vehicle a lot. Mm-hmm. It aired on May 10th in 2012.
And it was written by Jenna Bans, right?
It was directed by Tom Verica. And let me take you quick through the guest stars of the episode. We have Brendan Hines as Gideon Wallace, Bellamy Young as First Lady Melly Grant. Holy crap, Bellamy Young was still a fucking guest star.
I know, she wasn't even like a regular yet. Yeah.
In your pipe and smoke. Okay. Matt Lesher as Billy Chambers, Kate Burton as Vice President Sally Langston, and Josh Molina as Assistant U.S. And Josh Molina was a guest star.
Josh,
what the hell?
Oh my God.
As Assistant U.S. Attorney David Rosen.
And then we have Dan Bukatinski as James Novak, Brenda Song as Alyssa, the legal secretary. John Burke is Paul Mosley, and Samantha Sloyan as Sassy Staffer, the Sassy Staffer, who ends up in a future episode. She ends up having like a whole storyline thing. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Gee, Mir, you hit this synopsis.
You hit it last time. You hit it so good last time.
Oh, thanks, baby.
I feel like I should hit it this time, but okay, maybe go. You could do it also after me if
do
you
it.
Won't. Okay, so the synopsis is, after Fitz shows up at Olivia's apartment asking her to listen to the sex tape, the episode flashes back to show Fitz's campaign trail to the White House and the blossoming relationship between Olivia and Fitz. Meanwhile, Gideon Wallace investigates Amanda Tanner's past and David looks into Amanda's death.
And what a great episode that was. That was definitely one of my favorite all time.
Yeah.
And Verica's first episode.
Yep.
Yeah. It's the for one of the first times it. that Carrie's wig changed from...
She has bangs.
I don't remember.
She has bangs. She has bangs. Yeah. And this was our first like whole episode where the big storyline is a whole flashback. It's the whole how Fitz became president, how Fitz and Olivia started their love relationship, their physical relationship. And it's Tom Verica's introduction to Shondaland. And he, for those listening, became our producing director. And now he's the producing director for Bridgerton and the upcoming Queen Charlotte. And he's Shondaland staple and family.
Yeah.
So he obviously did a great job on this episode.
So good. And of course, he ends up directing like a million episodes of Scandal throughout the seasons.
Yeah.
As did Tony. Yeah.
And the big highlights of this episode that I want to talk to you about is this is the episode where you say just 1 minute, like you're on the campaign and you're like, you just pull her out of a room and you're like standing and all, you're just like, we just need 1 minute together. And then this is also the episode that has one of my favorite Scandal scenes of all time. When you and Olivia are on the bus and Fitz says, "What kind of coward was I?
Yeah.
That I didn't wait for you."
Yeah, I think that's my favorite Scandal scene that I did.
Tell us why. How did you prepare? Tell us about that scene.
That was so beautifully written, you know.
Yeah.
That was great. No, that episode was so... Tom Verica did such a brilliant job directing that.
It's the first time she calls you Fitz, too. Like, she keeps
calling
you
Mr. Is that the first time she calls me Fitz?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you like just call me Fitz.
And the 1 minute thing and that theme that developed, the musical theme that became Olivia and Fitz's theme. It was beautiful.
Then it's also the episode where you guys have your first real like
sex scene,
shit.
In the hotel room.
In the hotel, that crazy hotel sex scene with the micro thing under the bed, the bug under the bed. Yeah.
There's a bug under the bed, and now we're starting to put all together that the sex sounds that everyone's being sort of plagued
That's
with.
That's so funny. Now I'm remembering that. Yeah, it was the first sex scene that Carrie and I had.
I mean, you had to really take... It was a 10 p.m. show. It's like she's in a bra. She's in a white bra. She's like... It's like you pick her up and she's around your body. I mean, it is fucking on.
It was pretty hot. Like, and it was pretty on. Yeah, for not being fully nude, we might as well.
Yeah.
And Carrie and I were so... It's so funny because we were so like... It was the first time that we had done a sex scene together, and so we were so like careful with each other, and you
right,
know
of course.
after another 6 months we were like whatever
who gives a shit, we've done this a thousand times.
There's also that memorable line where you say
take off your clothes.
Which just take hit so hard it was so sexy because there's like a moment before you say that line where you're just staring at her. And then you say, take off your clothes. Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. Were you nervous that day? Were you like, I mean, I know you've done tens of thousands of sex scenes in your life. So it's good.
I was sort of nervous because it was Carrie's in my, I was nervous, not for Carrie, but for our relationship. Like I want, as actors, you know, you're like trying to be, you know what it's like. I mean,
respectful.
Yeah.
You're just trying to be, develop trust with another person.
Yeah.
Because it's so intimate doing sex scenes with people.
For those of you listening, Tony Goldwyn has a real knack, and I had heard this because I don't know if y'all remember this, but in the season episode 100, which this podcast hopefully will get there, Quinn has a sex scene with Fitz. It's just a quick makeout, right, and then a nice Quinn drops to her knees for a quick ass blowjob. But listen, I had heard in the grapevine. And all you actors listening, tell me if this is just a rumor and not true. The rumor was that Tony Goldwyn is such a great sex scene partner because if there's something that you're insecure about with your body, he'll like block it with his arm or cover it up. Is this made up? You're looking at me like this is made up.
It's like, what?
Maybe I did that once. I don't know where
I heard it. It might have been from Bellamy.
I certainly would if someone, you know.
But I had heard that, like, oh, God, it's so relieving when you're with someone who's, like, respectful, but also, like oh, you're, like, maybe Bellamy had said, this is clearly a memory that I have made up for you. You're welcome, Tony Goldwyn.
Yes, I mean, it's true. You know, you got to be so protective over your partner. I mean, acting with people, you got to develop trust. Trust is, like, the most important thing anyway. But when two people have their clothes off or you know. Yeah. It's just so weird. So that kind of, yeah, and I remember that with, you know, I think when Bellamy and I had a sex scene, I may be wrong, I'd have to ask her, but I think it was her first time ever.
Oh, wow.
Being
really?
Basically naked on camera and doing
oh,
it. And
shit.
We had this scene, sex scene in the shower together.
Oof.
And
it was
so challenging. You know, it was so, she felt so vulnerable, I think, you know. So I remember feeling like I really got to take care of her because.
Yeah.
Because I have done it a lot and I've directed a lot of sex scenes and it's such a weird thing that we do. But all, you know what?
Yeah.
They're important because in real life, sex is such an important part
of
life and relationships and people are so weird and prudish about it in terms of our culture and everything that if done right, it's such an interesting dramatic situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I always find it really challenging.
Yes. And it's also the part that I enjoy the most about shows. Like, it's why, like, that the will they, won't they, which you and Carrie mastered over years of, like, they kept keeping you apart, getting you together, keeping you apart, sending her down the road with other people, sending you down the road with other people, and then bringing you back together. I mean, the sex lives of Fitz and Olivia were a huge heartbeat of our show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be right back, guys.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Do you remember anything about, like, the trail?
Yeah, I remember a lot about it.
Okay, we've got Homeless Huck makes his first. Is this your Huck, Homeless Huck's right. first
yeah,
appearance?
Yeah, this is the first
Scandal?
Time you see Homeless Huck. Yeah.
Can you tell
or
us
Hagrid
about
Huck?
That? Oh, right. We also
Hagrid Huck. Right.
The hardest thing about playing Homeless Huck was that I knew I couldn't eat all freaking day because of that damn beard. Because you can't, you know, all the hair gets in your mouth. So that was just the biggest struggle to being like, you know, they'd come around with trays of these delicious looking sandwiches. And I'd be like, I can't fucking eat that shit because I'm Homeless Huck. That was the hardest part.
And Quinn has her has her grilled cheese sex scene with Gideon in this episode, and I remember being very nervous as well and getting like 7,000 spray tans.
Yes, I remember that too. It was your first. That was your first sex scene, wasn't it? In the show, wasn't it your first one?
In the show, yes. Not my first sex. I have done
But in the show, but I remember you being super stressed out about that.
I was really stressed because I probably hadn't done a sex scene where like people, this many people would watch it. Like I'd done tons before and like indies and plays where no one gave a rat's ass. But like I felt stressed. I got 1,000 spray tans. 1,000 because someone told me if you can't tone, tan. And it would cover up like butt zits and like all this stuff.
Well,
and then who was more nervous than me was Gideon Wallace.
Right.
Who is now married. Do you know who Gideon Wallace is now married to, Tony Goldwyn?
No idea.
Are you ready to fucking fall off your chair?
Yeah.
He's married to Tatiana Maslany.
No way.
They got married during COVID.
Oh my God, that's
I'm saying this for your fans because I saw Tony Goldwyn in Network on Broadway and his character is paired up with Tatiana. So you've worked with Tatiana closely and had sex scenes with her as well.
Oh, wow.
In Network. She and I were she and Bryan Cranston and I were she played the Faye Dunaway part in Network.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's married to Gideon, Brendan Hines.
I'm so happy for her.
Yeah.
Brendan is the sweetest guy. Yeah. Oh, and Tatiana's the best. She's awesome. She's such a great person and a brilliant actress.
But he was really nervous that day, I remember. And then I felt so embarrassed because we had the sex scene and Tom Verica was like, okay, it really seems like Katie Quinn is like mauling Brendan very easily. And Tom said something like, if this was like a point system, we kind of want it to be like 1-1. You know, 2-2, you don't want it to be like Katie's doing it all and Brendan's just sort of, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I just like, I'm an aggressor.
You went
like,
for it.
In, like, that's just how I do it.
On the top.
I'm just a controlling person. Like, I'm just like, okay, we're going to do this. Like, let's go. Like, I have a lot of energy. Obviously, you all know that for better or for worse. And I had sort of overtaken him. He was very nervous. I remember that. But we got it done, and then literally the next episode, he dies with a scissor in the neck. So
yes. Yeah. This is one. This in this episode too. It's one of the first times that I remember thinking, "Oh shit!" Like this show is going there. Like the fact that Billy Chambers stabs him in the neck, and you know you see a huge spurt of blood come out. It was like, "Oh wow, this is an intense like show." It's really going for it and going there, which I loved. It's dark. Yeah. You know?
This is also the episode where Melly says we see the beginnings of her being the political animal that she is because she comes in and does a speech saying that she like she basically fakes a miscarriage. She says like, "Oh, it's because I lost a baby."
Oh God, I forgot about that.
And we start to be like, "Whoa, this woman is like a beast. Like she will do anything for the office."
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then,
that's right.
Yes. These were my notes. What kind of coward was I to marry her and not wait for you? Fave line ever. She calls him Fitz. They hold hands. Ladies and gentlemen, it is on. Take off your clothes, he says. Tony Goldwyn's body is insane. Carries in a little bra. Ass grabbing, straddling. Whoa, 10 p.m. show, people. Billy made these are my notes when I rewatched.
Oh, my God. I love it.
But what's so sweet and how this episode sort of wraps up is that then they cut to you both in present day and you do the 1 minute again. We see how broken and far, like, you're just holding her on the couch, right, G?
Was that right? Because I bring her the tape to look at.
To listen to,
the sex tape, that it's her, not Amanda Tenn or whatever.
This was huge for TV, I thought, too, because it was the first time that you say, let's do the, you know, 1 minute. But on screen, on camera, on television, we actually wait that full minute in silence.
Yeah.
Of them two just holding each other, him holding Olivia. And it was so, so powerful.
Yeah, Shonda said it's going to be a full minute.
Yeah.
It was. It was great. It was great. In that, yeah, right, exactly. And remember in season one, Didn't in season one we shoot in a real apartment?
Yep.
When people could barely move in the hallways.
Yes.
And we were up in this tiny apartment, which eventually they built in a set on a stage, which was much easier. But wow.
Did you take anything from set, Tony? Did you take anything? Like a piece of clothing or like a set?
Anything from the
Oval? Much swag.
We got so much
First of all, I guess ABC's, so many clothes. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, God.
It was like, we fudged the rules a little bit about all the wardrobe that we that ABC
whatever
gives.
It's tailored for our body. It's either sitting in a basement to never be worn.
It literally had my name, all of my suits, said on the inside, because Brooks Brothers made a lot of my suits, and they said expressly tailor made for President Fitzgerald Grant III.
Wow!
Like it's so cool. I still have a bunch of those suits. They're really good, but they are like, isn't that a cool thing?
Oh, that's
so what were they
going
to like give them to some other actor to wear? So clothes. What else do I have?
Did you take anything from the Oval Office, like a piece from your desk or anything that was on it?
No, we all talked about that. There was nothing. Yeah. There was nothing I really. There was like a battleship, and I thought that'd be stupid.
So
I don't think I did. I don't.
Guillermo,
think so.
Tell Tony what you got.
And we got so much swag. Yeah. I don't.
That's
know.
The best. Oh,
what did you take?
What did you take?
So when the series ended, I always admired the window panels, the flawed, cracked window panels in OPA.
In OPA, yeah.
Yeah, so I hit up Mary Howard, who's one of our producers, and asked her if I could have one of those windows, one of those panels, and they freaking sent it to my house. It weighs like a ton, but it's beautiful piece, and it's hanging in my house at the entrance. And it's just
how big is it? Like one pane with the framing?
It's
or
one
or
pane.
Is it a whole?
Yeah. It's like poster size, like a movie poster size.
Yeah.
But it's,
how great.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
Oh, I love that, G. That's such a cool. Yeah.
Isn't
and
that
then I
cool?
Also,
that's a great idea. That's
like,
great.
I missed an opportunity, man. Because I didn't do that either.
I also took Huck's leather jacket. I'm wearing it right now.
Oh, that's Huck's? Oh,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, this is Huck's jacket.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Do you any, like, scandal memories that jump out at you? Also, you're going to have to come back on. Like, if we are doing this for 100 and whatever episodes, we're going to be bothering you again.
Oh, hell yeah. Anytime. Anytime. It's so fun.
But what was, like, I want to know a couple things. How do you feel about our WhatsApp scandal chain that we text each other constantly, happy birthday, happy holidays, I miss you.
The best. The best.
Are there any major memories that stick out in your mind about maybe the beginning, the first season, the second season?
So many things. God, yeah. I mean, that first day of rehearsal, I already told you about that. It was like a magical thing where you just feel the chemistry between people. Going to the end when we were in D.C., our last episode ever.
It was the best.
For no good reason, Shonda said, we're shooting this episode in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And we just had a party. And remember when Carrie rented a bus for us all to go look at all the monuments? Because her favorite thing to do, of course, Carrie, the intellectual, for one of her favorite things to do in D.C. was to go around to all of the different, her favorite monuments.
Yes.
And she for those who didn't know the story, she rented a bus for us, like a tour bus thing. And we all piled in at night and drove all around D.C. and like we're drinking, partying.
Drinking
Whistle Pig.
Yeah.
Whistle Pig. I bought, George Newbern and I bought a bottle of Whistle Pig whiskey, which we both really loved, at the hotel bar, which cost me like
$400. Oh my God, Tony,
like
I love you.
From the
You're
bar
such
at the hotel.
A baller.
They're like, oh, it's going to, and George, oh my God, it's going to cost that much. I was like, screw it, let's do it.
Oh my God, thank you for doing that.
It was so fun.
It was so magical.
And no one recognized us. We were all together, but it was dark, so we could be with tourists. People didn't recognize. It was so fun. Mm-hmm.
It was perfect. Awesome. It was raining out a little bit, so there weren't many tourists around, and it was probably the only time the Scandal cast could have ever done something like that and not been
and not get noticed,
just crazily
get mobbed. Right.
Mobbed.
Isn't the Whistle Pigs the title of our WhatsApp text chain? Aren't we called the Whistle
Pigs? That's right. That's what I always that's what I always used to call you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Shonda arranged a private tour of the African American Museum that had just opened. That was incredible.
That was so amazing.
That was so incredible.
So
we
that
were
was
so
a big memory.
Lucky.
Lucky.
Like,
right?
We really were.
All those New York upfront trips and the White House correspondent trips and shooting in DC and just like so many dinners. Like we used to, oh, we haven't talked about that actually yet. We used to give a gift like every year. I think we would just take the writers, all the actors would take the writers out to dinner.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
And that classic was so fun. Jeff Perry style, every actor would sort of get up and like say a rousing speech as if we were in like some Irish like Limerick pub kind of thing. Like we'd all get up like, I want to say this and I want to say that. Yeah. And like cheers. And
yeah, it was quite unique. I'd forgotten about that because, you know, for people that aren't in our business, writers are sort of notoriously underappreciated.
Yeah.
And particularly staff writers, because in television you have your showrunner who becomes the big, you know, jefe and is generally gets all the accolades and on a successful show, and Shonda certainly deserves those. But the writers, you know, work their asses off sometimes feeling not seen. And so I forget how it evolved, but they were just so grateful that we would have this party every year with them.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was such magic. Such magic. Yeah. Oh, wait. Can you tell us really quickly, because we didn't have you on for this episode, you really know how to chop wood like that, right?
That's right. When you chopped wood I actually
do know how to chop wood.
Really? You did it so well.
It's unbelievable. So didn't Shonda email you, like, is there any sports or something you can do?
Oh, yeah. She was cruel to me. She said something like, can you play basketball or something? Or no, she said, what sports can you do? I said, Shonda, I can chop wood. I was kidding. So then she wrote in a wood chopping scene.
Yes.
And then she would say, well, what sports do you play? I said, look, pretty much anything except basketball. I cannot play basketball. And then this is another, like, somewhere in the middle of our whole thing. I said, I do not play basketball. So all of a sudden, lo and behold, Lynn Paolo, our brilliant costume designer, texts me one day and goes, hey, we need to schedule a fitting for you to come in and try on your basketball clothes. I was like, what?
Oh, no.
I call her and she's like, well, didn't Shonda tell you you have a basketball scene in the next episode with you and Scott Foley playing basketball? I was like,
oh my
Scott
God.
Foley is like an amazing
He's
athlete
really good
and like
at
a
basketball.
Great basketball player. Yeah. He played high school basketball and stuff. And I was like, what is happening?
The fuck?
So then I called Mary Howard and she said, oh, yes. You know, because, of course, we never knew anything about what was happening in the next episode. We always find out at the last minute. So I made them get me a basketball coach, you know, for like 10 days of cramming. And I like had blisters on my feet.
Oh my God,
no.
I could play one-on-one with Scott, you know.
Oh my God.
But we had a full-on basketball scene. It was ridiculous.
I love
it. And you killed it. Oh, wait. And also some fun facts. Stephen Finch does not appear at all in this episode, past or present.
Henry Ian Cusick. Yeah, he's not in the episode at all.
So that was Ian's last.
Well, he was not in it.
He just did season one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. But like, what's crazy?
Oh, because he came into Olivia's life later.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Gideon was up all night working on the phone right outside the bedroom. And Quinn leaves to get coffee as Gideon calls Billy, which means Billy needed to drive to Gideon's house, have the conversation, and stab him all before Quinn got coffee nearby. Yeah, well, we always stretch shit like that.
Yeah.
We always would stretch shit like that.
Exactly.
All right, yo, let's get into our favorite
tweets of the time.
I said tweets of the time, y'all.
We like to wrap up our episodes with we read some tweets that were put out that night.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, we must have just found out. This is crazy, but @Keisha0210 on May 11th, 2012 wrote, I'm so happy about Scandal ABC being renewed for a second season, doing a happy dance right now. Woohoo!
Yeah.
So we must have,
we didn't know, right? We had no idea.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Like,
this
crazy.
This is just the first season, yeah. Rebecca Theodore Vachon at Film Fatale said, retweeted Dawn Navette, one time for the hotel scene. Haven't seen a love scene so hot with a black lead on primetime TV. Overdue. Well done. #scandal. Yeah, that shit was huge.
That shit was
huge.
Isn't it
so funny how the world has changed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, now you wouldn't think twice about it. And it was only...
Oh, totally.
Was it 10 years ago?
10 years ago. Exactly. I'm willing to bet, I know we were the first black female lead of a network drama in 37 years when we aired, but I'm curious if there had ever been sex scenes between a black woman and a white man on network drama primetime. Like, I don't know. I have no idea.
And I wonder, certainly I would doubt, And if it was like a regular relationship as opposed to
sure,
it being like,
sure.
Oh, one episode or something. Yeah.
Like, isn't that good, insane? And now, thank God, I feel like that's why Scandal is, I mean, it was so special for so many reasons, mm-hmm. but it really was the beginning
groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And thank God you and Carrie were so hot together because it was missing. Okay. Screaming at Scandal right now throws my wonderful pistachios at the screen at the end of this damn episode from Rebecca Theodore Vachon. And then, oh, this is interesting. At Rimsey says, OMG, Kerry Washington has a small hand compared to Mr. Fitz. Hashtag Scandal. I don't know.
Don't go there.
That's a weird one.
I don't know what that means.
This other tweet, Queen of Sanity says, reporter dude from Scandal was a fool. You can't invite someone into your home alone and tell them you have career-ending dirt on them. That's so true.
That's a very, very good point.
Scissors in your neck.
And then we have our first hashtag from at XYZZ. In other news, this episode of Hashtag Scandal is my favorite so far. Hashtag 1 minute.
Yeah. Oh, man. This was so fun.
So fun, guys.
Tony, you are the best. We love you. And this was such a blast. And thank you for being our Fitzgerald Grant III forever and ever and ever.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Katie, how freaking amazing was it having Tony? Like, I couldn't believe it. I think we went over like a lot because we couldn't stop talking to him. So great.
The dude is the greatest. He's just the most loving.
Yeah. Talented, like smart. Yeah. And Friday the 13th, part 6. He's in Friday the 13th.
His first job.
His first movie.
And isn't it so inspiring that he was someone who had to really hustle for it, especially in the beginning. And and then even still, when he thought he was and is this big, fancy Hollywood director, took 8 years to put together the movie of Conviction. Yeah. And then it ends up not doing what everyone promised him it would do, even though it's still an amazing movie.
Yeah.
And then his entire career took a complete right turn back to being an actor.
Yeah, with Scandal, Oh, man. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed talking about it.
Next week, if Tony Goldwyn blew your mind, which he did mine, and he's the best, we've got a show in store for you people. Next episode, 107, is titled Grant for the People, and we've got a very special guest. Maybe one of the most special guests.
Yeah, and it's the last episode of the season of season one of Scandal.
So tell your friends. Come listen.
Thank you guys for joining us on Unpacking the Toolbox. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, share with your friends, rate, or leave us a review.
Scandal is executive produced by Sandy Bailey, Alex Alche, Lauren Homan, Tyler Klang, and Gabrielle Collins. Our producer and editor is Vince DiGianni, with music by Chad Fisher.
Scandal is a production of ABC Signature, and you can follow along by rewatching Scandal on Hulu.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app or anywhere you subscribe to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say "Free This Week" into your Xfinity voice remote.